God bless you all. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I loved the music. I loved some of those old hymns. I love that. I knew them all. I do a lot of humming these days. These choruses are placed on the wall, but things change, times change, and lots has changed since we last talked together. We have a president, whatever that means to you, but change is always coming down the pipe, isn't it? Wonderful thing about knowing Jesus is a lot what our sister's saying about. We know that there's a resurrection. We know that he lives and that he makes a difference in all of our lives. I would be less than honest with you this morning if I didn't tell you that a little bit what I'm saying this morning, it was kind of bleeds into what I'm going to be saying across town just a few minutes from here. So this is kind of a double header day for me. And I'm a little bit out of practice. So you all pray for me. I appreciate this church, the people in it, of course, but I love the building. I know that we often say the church can't save you, and that's true. Only the Lord can save. But in my career over the last 50 years, I've appreciated the places of worship that have drawn people together and brought about growth in the Christian church. So I'm thankful for this church. I'm interested in what brought Bethel Lutheran Church about. I'd like to know its history sometime. I know that it hasn't been easy. I say that because, not because I know anything about you. I just know that ministry and the building of the church is a challenging business. I appreciated you praying for your pastor. Take it from me. Being a pastor is hard work. We get kidded with a lot, you know. But pastoring a church is a hard job, particularly if you care about lost people. My first sermon in town was preached 49 years ago yesterday. We're celebrating in our church this morning. It's kind of a Founders Sunday. So Phyllis and I, being the founders of Christ Community Church, as it is known today, we're going to be put to work, and we'll be talking about our history. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to give you a word of testimony. When 49 years ago, I preached my first sermon, we had been through a very arduous process. We didn't know what God's plan was for our life. And we had many experiences in finding that out. When I graduated from Bible college in 1970, I had no idea what God was going to do with our life. And he led us here and there. And ultimately, he led us to Ottawa. The particular challenge that we faced in those days, and every church faces challenges, was that at age 31, I had developed kidney disease. And I was in late stage kidney disease starting when I was close to 31 years old. And just trying to discover the plan of God for our lives over against the possibility of imminent shut down and even death. Things were different in 1971. People died with late stage kidney disease. And the best advice I got, the best prognosis that was given to me in those days, not long before we moved to Ottawa, was, Mr. Nordstrom, if I were you, I would give my children memories. And as a young guy who wanted to do something for God, that sounded scary, married with three young kids. So I'm saying all of that to say that in the midst of that battle, we honestly feel that God called us to Ottawa, Illinois. I grew up just 40 miles west of here, graduated from Princeton High School, married my high school sweetheart. I didn't know much about Ottawa. I mean, I drove over here in 1956 with a carload of buddies in my 1944. We came to see a basketball game at the high school, and we got thoroughly beaten. So I didn't have much to do with Ottawa after that. But God definitely called us to Ottawa, and we had a little building on the north side, and we had a nice little building. It was well appointed. The only thing we lacked was people. We had no people. So with an empty building and a passion to love God and to love sinners, we started there. We didn't do everything perfectly. We were not right about everything. No one ever is. But we had a heart full of passion for God. And when I preached my first sermon in Ottawa, I was yellow. My pallor was yellow. I weighed 128 pounds. I had no hope of a future. And long story short, several months later, my mother gave me a kidney, and I received a second opportunity to live. That kidney lasted me for 15 years. This is all the while we're ministering here in Ottawa. And it failed. But I had a young brother who stepped in and said, I want to give you a kidney. So I don't know why I'm telling you all of this. Really, what I'm telling you all this for is that God can take, he can take nothing and make something out of it. He can take a lack of opportunity and make the joy of service out of it. So in 1987, my youngest brother gave me his kidney. And with my mother and my brother, I have my mother is planted right here in my right side. She'd be 117 years old. So that's what the gray hair is all about. I'm really only 35. And my brother, who is in his mid-60s, is planted on my left side. Both of my kidneys had to be removed back before all of that happened. And just to say praise the Lord, I consulted with the Mayo Clinic just a matter of 6 months ago. And I said, you know, I've lived a long time with a kidney transplant. And you guys did it. You did the work. I'm beginning to wonder if there's anyone who's lived longer than I have with a kidney transplant. And he looked through the records. He said, well, I'm sorry, I can't say you're number one, but you are number two. There's a woman in Wisconsin who has had her kidney for 54 years, and I'll be 50 next year. And I praise God for that. And I prefaced all of that by saying that ministry can be challenging. I know, with knowing little about this congregation, I know that you've had to pay a price to keep the doors open. You've had to deal with difficult people. Well, we do over there. That's all I'll say about that. But I want you to look in the Word of God. And I'm going to read, if I beg your indulgence here, I'm going to read from the modern version. And reading from Acts 16. And I'm using this because of the words that this translator used to kind of freshen up some of the words that I had in my other Bibles. I'll just start at the top. I, Paul, came first to Derbe, then Lystra. He found a disciple there by the name of Timothy, son of the devout Jewish mother in Greek. Friends in Lystra and Iconium all said that a fine young man he was. Paul wanted to recruit him for his mission, but first took him aside and circumcised him so he wouldn't offend the Jews who lived in those parts. They all knew that his father was Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they presented the simple guidelines that Jerusalem apostles and leaders had come up with. Verse 5, that turned out to be most helpful. You love to read about this in the development of a church. All of that was very helpful. Day after day, the congregation became stronger in faith and larger in size. They went to Phrygia and then through the region of Galatia. It's interesting how the gospel of Jesus Christ affected people in what we might observe as pagan areas of the world. But the message of Jesus given to them, the message of the resurrection, brought life to them. And congregations popped up all over that part of the world. I think I'll just say it's true of me. Maybe it's true of us. I think it's possible for us to get to the place where we forget the real mission of the church. I appreciate you each Sunday asking forgiveness for your sin and receiving the grace of God. That's really what the church is all about. It's bringing the possibility of a new life in Jesus Christ for the people who attend here. And as I said, we've been trying to do that for now nearly 50 years. And ministry is hard, but we're working at it. And I love this church, and I love the churches of this city who continue to bear the message of the gospel to the world. All right, here's an interesting thing I want you to notice in the next line. Their plan was to turn west into Asia province, and the Holy Spirit blocked that route. So they went to Mysia and tried to go north to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let them go there either. Proceeding on through Mysia, they went down to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a dream. A Macedonian stood on the far shore and called across the sea, come over to Macedonia and help us. As I read these scriptures, as they regard your church and my church, I read with interest the fact that it was their plan, but the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, as great a man as he was, He had a plan. I mean, it was in the GPS. The maps were laid out. He knew where he was going, but the Holy Spirit said, I don't want you to go there. And he rerouted him. And just for the sake of time this morning, ultimately, that call from Macedonia resulted in a revival in the city of Philippi. So, as I read this, I thought, the Apostle Paul had Asia on his mind, and God had Europe on his mind. Do you realize what that means to us right here on this corner, on this Sunday morning? Most of us are of European descent, right? I mean, we go back, and all those hundreds of years later, the Holy Spirit is expressing his wishes. This is where I want you to go. Well, you would think obeying the Lord, it would be easy street. I mean, there was Lydia in the city of Philippi. She was a rich lady. Ah, it's nice to have a rich person come into the church. A rich lady. Immediately, she signed up. She was baptized, became a member of the Philippian church. Paul got himself in trouble, ended up in jail. And it's interesting that in jail, he prayed to God and sang hymns at midnight. And there was a Philippian jailer that got saved. When I look at the book of Philippians, as we know it today, it's a sweet little book. I love Philippians. Philippians is full of joy. When I was just a young teenager, my Sunday school teacher put a verse of scripture in my hand from the book of Philippians. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I took that note from the Philippian letter, and I've inculcated it into my life, and often through the crisis of my life, I have reminded the Lord, I'm confident of this very thing, which you started in me, you're going to finish. So I'm here today to say a word of encouragement, just to tell you that God's got his hand on you. God's directing your life. You know, through COVID, I don't know how you are, but my kids have tried to keep us undercover. Dad, don't go out. No need of it. We'll bring your groceries. And I've been a little bored. I've been a little closer to Phyllis than I ever have been in my life. I've wanted a few days to just hop in my truck and take a long ride. You know how it is. Things have changed. But God's on the throne. I don't know what's going to happen. Just looking at the folks in this crowd that probably not my age, but getting close. You've been asked, have you ever seen anything like this before? You've been asked that, haven't you? I've had them say, was it anything like this back in the 60s? And so I talked to them about that. We all have something in the past. When I was a kid and had questions, and my parents, they said, oh, no, back in the Depression. We had this and that. We made these sacrifices and that. So I just like to say that any price that you pay to make the road to Calvary a little easier for somebody, do it. The work of the church remains loving people, loving lost people, and seeing the joy of lives transformed. And that's true even in some depressing times. I counseled a lady this in the last few days. I said, ma'am, you not only lost your husband, but you lost your husband in COVID at a time when the church is always welcome in, come close. Shake hands, we hug, but now it's keep your distance, wear a mask, don't you bump elbows. I don't know what you do here, but we're forced into a lot of change. So We have a book of Philippians because an apostle listened to the Holy Spirit and ended up there. I've been carrying, I've got 3 minutes left, and I've got 7 minutes. I've been carrying this in my pocket. This is a note from a pastor in Princeton telling me about the death of Mrs. Dury, who passed away at 8:15 p.m. on Tuesday. She explained all about her. And my attention was riveted. In, I suppose it would be 1952 or 1953, Mrs. Dury walked down our street, turned off on Mercer. She walked past the Storms family. She walked past the Hookers. The Hookers were next door to me, Bernie and Alice. People get all excited when I say there were Hookers next door. But she stopped at our door and knocked, and my mother, who was very quiet, very sweet, always invited her in. And she just kept coming back. She pestered the life out of us. She loved the Lord with all of her heart. She was you'd see her walking down the street, purse on her arm and a notepad. And my mother would always say, we'll be coming to church, maybe next Sunday. Well, one Sunday, I was home alone, and Mrs. Dury knocked on the door. I wasn't dressed very appropriately. And she said, come on, Johnny, go to church. I wanted in the worst way to say, get lost. But nice boy that I was, I dressed up. I jumped in the back seat of her 1950 Nash. She hauled me to church. She introduced me to Howie Williams. Howie Williams loved me. And in Howie Williams' class, I gave my life to Jesus Christ as just a teenage boy. It changed my life. The exciting thing about it is it's still changing my life. It still moves me when I get with a group of people and talk about this. I owe so much to Mrs. Dury. It must have been about 1980. I decided I wanted to teach our church about personal evangelism. And the point was, none of you got here by yourself. You rode the shoulders of somebody. So I went to Princeton and I found Mrs. Dury, now probably in her mid-60s, maybe 70. And I found her in the layaway department of Walmart. And she saw me, hadn't seen me for years. She said, Johnny, I love you. I'm so thankful for you. I said, Mrs. Dury, I want to bring you to my church. I want a special Sunday. And we put up a large banner across our front, Mrs. Dury Sunday. And she came in, she cried. And she gave her testimony about how it was to see our family come to Christ. And I just owe so much, as do you. All of us rode the shoulders of somebody to come to this church or wherever it was that you found Jesus. I hope I'm making some sense, because I'm trying to speak to you and I'm trying to get ready for what I'm going to say across town. But it's a blessing to be here. Have you experienced, this is where I'm going, and the Holy Spirit says no. I am in Ottawa today, and I've given 30 years of ministry here, and I've been elsewhere also, but I'm back home on home soil, and I'm just thrilled at what God is still doing among us. Can you say amen? Amen. I want us to stand, and we're going to have a word of prayer together. First of all, Father, I want to say thank you. Thank you for Bethel Lutheran Church. I want to thank you for its influence in our town over the years. I want to thank you for the great relations that we've had among these people. We just want to say thank you. And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.